Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's time to talk to the smartest man in football. 95.7 The Game NFL Insider Brian Baldinger. Brought to you by Snake River Farms, the pioneer of American Wagyu beef. Shipped directly to your door. Order now at snakeriverfarms.com. Joining us on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line, it is Baldy joining Bonte, Joe, the Butcher Boy, Shasky, and Kate Scott here on the Morning Roast. And Brian, what a difference a week makes. We've been saying it all morning, just night and day from the team that we saw a week ago to the 49ers we saw last night. So I'll start big picture, and then we can get into the details and the intricacies of that win. But just big differences that you noticed last night from a week ago to last night.
Well, I mean, it started with the opening drive and really, you know, the big play by Debo, not to ever really get down to the ground to keep it alive. I thought that was it. I thought that the play calling was very crisp by Kyle Shanahan. I mean, literally on that opening drive, six plays down the field, Jimmy Garoppolo didn't have to throw the ball down the field at all. I mean, it was just fly sweeps and screens for the most part. And next thing you know, they're on the board. And I thought the offensive line was really crisp. But I just thought the attention to detail all the way around was much sharper. From the offensive line to the play calling to the execution of the plays, I thought that's where the difference was last night. And you're right, Kate. I mean, it's a week-to-week league. And so, you know, when things don't work the week before, you really got to go, you know, try to get your quarterback back into a rhythm and get them some easy completions, and they did that. And, you know, I thought that's what really kind of jump-started the offense.
You know, Baldy, I want to talk about the big uglies because they look like a different group this week. What in the hell changed in the last 7 days with this group? Because the boogeyman, the big bad wolf, Aaron Donald, they slowed him down yesterday. He was non-existent on primetime Sunday Night Football, Baldy.
Well, they didn't really run at him at all. They blocked him well. I mean, Daniel Brunskill and Mike McGlinchey, they blocked him when they had a chance to block him. But the ball was out so fast, there wasn't a lot of deep throws. There wasn't a lot of deep drops to really allow him to be disruptive, you know. And so if it's balls just coming out quick, it's quick, simple reads, that's going to keep him off balance. It's not going to allow him to get going and to do what he does, which is basically ruin offenses. So I think that was it. Then the screen game was good. The times that they ran it, and then just the horizontal running game was really good, just running away from him on the edges, the way they did with Debo on a couple of occasions. So I thought it was just a good overall game plan where Aaron Donald wasn't really allowed to take over the game. And when they had to block them, they flat out blocked them. I mean, there was a couple of really good plays by both Brunskill and McGlinchey on it.
You know, Brian, I'm looking at Jimmy Garoppolo. We talked about him literally nonstop last week. I mean, everybody did. And even Chris Collinsworth addressed it on the telecast. Like, everybody's asking, what's going on with Jimmy? Late in the game, it's third and like, I don't know, 9 or 10. They're in kind of no man's land. Field goal, it's a little too long. If they punt it here, you don't want to give it back to the Rams. He scrambles and then drops the shoulder to try to plow over the guy. He doesn't get the first down, but he puts him in a position to kick that field goal. If you're on that offensive line, if you're in that huddle, what did that play mean to you when you saw Jimmy G lower the shoulder right there?
Well, I mean, he's one of them. You know, he puts, you know, he's just one of the linemen. And that's what you see. I mean, you see a lot of toughness from him. I mean, I don't think anybody ever questions his toughness. You know, he took a shot down the field, one of the few vertical shots he took, and, you know, he had a defensive tackle coming right at him on a, you know, it was actually on the touchdown throw to George Kittle on 4th and 2. I mean, he takes a shot from the defensive tackle coming right down the gun barrel at him, and he didn't flinch. He made the right throw. So, I you know, he doesn't need to do that, you know, that part of the game like that, but I think people on that team and in that building respect the heck out of that guy. And, you know, that type of play just gets more respect, but I don't think it's ever in question, to be honest with you.
Talking with the smartest man in football, Brian Baldinger, here on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers Guest Line with Bonte, Joe, and Kate on the Morning Roast here on 95.7 The Game. Let's switch gears, talk a little bit about the defense, Brian, because last week it was all about who's this guy, Brian Allen, why are they calling up a dude from the practice squad? Gosh, the secondary is so thin. Who wears number 48 and plays corner? And thankfully this morning we're talking about how great it was to have Emmanuel Mosley back and what just a performance by Jason Verrett. So what did you see from those two corners last night?
Well, you know, Kate, it's, you know, people always use the cliche that it's a quarterback-driven league, and I like to just use a play on words. It's a quarterback-driven league. And the play of Verrett and Mosley all night long was the difference in the game. You know, on their fourth down and the goal, on the 49ers' 4th and 2, they hit a home run ball to George Kittle. And on the fourth down throw in the end zone, Jason Verrett takes it away from Jared Goff. And it's just a savvy play. I mean, he's got Robert Woods just plastered the way he's supposed to. But his eyes are up. His eyes are on Goff. He reaches the throw, and then he jumps Josh Reynolds, and he takes it away in the end zone. And it was the difference in the game. But Verrett was excellent. Emmanuel Mosley was excellent. They've got really good receivers. All four of them are really, really talented. They're really good. And they defended them all night long. And then even watching Jason Verrett defend Gerald on the outside, the tight end Gerald. I just can't think of his name right now. I'm just kind of forgetting.
Oh, Gerald Everett. Gerald Everett. I got you, Baldy.
Yeah, sorry. Thanks.
I got you, Baldy. You Come on, baby.
It's early. We understand. We do that every day.
I just blanked for a second, but it was you know, your corners, you're only going to be as good in your secondary as how your corners play, and they play a lot of zone coverage. But in that zone, they eventually become man, and you got to break on the ball. I thought Verrett could have had 3 interceptions in the game. He had excellent breaks. His eyes were good. You know, he's a talented player. He's always, you know, had his little injury going back to TCU with just staying healthy and staying on the field, but he's got excellent instincts. People question about his size, but, you know, he plays, he just knows how to play the game and keep his hands off guys and play the ball in the air. And it made a big difference last night. I thought that was probably the biggest difference defensively, is watching those two players play on the edge.
You know, speaking of number 48, Fred Warden Jr. donned that jersey in his first ever game. I'll leave that question. I'll leave the Fred Warden to talk to Joe Shasky here, Baldy, but I got to talk about a Baylor Bear in Jamichael Hasty. He ran the ball hard yesterday, and I know you were close to that Baylor program. You love the Baylor Bears, Baldy. You love them. With Matt Rule, when he was there, now I know he's moved on to Carolina, but Jamichael Hasty, who is this guy? Because he looks like a great compliment to Raheem Mostert. He ran the ball hard yesterday in the fourth quarter.
Well, I think anybody that runs the ball for the 49ers, you better take a long, hard look at them, because they're not just throwing anybody in there. There's a certain type of back that they like. Jamichael Hasty was a 4-year player at Baylor, had some injuries. They had, you know, coaching changes. Art Briles chased out of there. Interim coach Matt Rule comes in. But Jamichael played 4 seasons there. And when Matt Rule took over, they were 2-back offense the way the 49ers are. They like the fullback on the field. You know, they ran the ball between the tackles. They wanted to run the ball. He got a chance to do it. Last night, you started to see him get some carries. And what you see is tremendous quickness and good vision. He had a 10-yard run in the fourth quarter late in the game, you know, when they're playing keep away from the Rams. And you can see all of his skills on that particular run. And, you know, whether it's, you know, Tevin Coleman or Raheem Mostert or Matt Breida or any of the guys that have been running the ball, you know, this Mike McDaniels, he has a certain eye for guys that he likes in the run game. And I think that based on what you saw last night, that you could expect to see a good deal more of Jermichael Hasty as the weeks go on, as the season goes on.
All right, Baldy, let's get to my favorite player on the defense right now. I mean, this guy's the heart and soul of the team. I don't know how you can watch him and not love him. Like, I love watching elite linebacker play. I really do. And from Patrick Willis to Bowman, and now this kid, Fred Warner, number 54. How are there three guys ranked higher than him by PFF? This dude is an absolute stud. Baldy, he's underrated. Like, I don't even know how I can even bring his name up and not have people understand around the entire country how great Fred Warner is.
Well, maybe your eyes are better than the algorithms for PFF, you know.
I think they are. Baldy, I think they are.
You know, maybe they should be signing you up. I mean, look, Fred was possessed last night. He was just possessed. He refused to be blocked. He was sideline to sideline. In every hit, it looked like he wanted it to be his last hit. Like, it was just impactful. And, you know, he was turning guys sideways last night, right in the hole, all the way to the sideline. When he plays like that, I mean, Fred, first of all, he's got great instincts for the game. So he's a step, you know, he's a step faster than just about anybody there. If you know the formation, you know the play. And that's Fred's study all week long to put him in position to make those type of plays. But I thought I saw what you saw last night. I thought I saw a man possessed. And sometimes after a really poor performance against the Dolphins, where you could have called out anybody on the defense the week before against the Dolphins, and you wouldn't have been wrong. That's why it's a week-to-week league. You know, you just have to go look at that film and go, that's not me. You know, that's not who we are. And I'm sure that was talked about by Robert Saleh and the whole defensive staff this week. That's not who we are, giving up 43 points like that to the stinking Dolphins. And so I think, to a man, they looked in the mirror and they said, all right, what am I going to do to be better this week, to make this team better, to make this defense better? And I think, you know, I think Fred probably took that advice. I think that's probably what he did.
Well, Baldy, hope we're talking to you after another big 49ers win next Monday. Thanks, as always, for the time and the insight. It was awesome catching up.
Okay, my pleasure, Kate. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Baldy.
Thanks, Baldy.
I'm going to sign up for PFF now. I think I should. I should be one of the graders. I mean, yeah? I think that is, that's right in my wheelhouse.
Fonte,
you know,
Fonte,
I'm a football
like
guy.
It might take away too much of Joe's time from us, but real quick, 95.7 The Game's NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, brought to you by Snake River Farms, as you all well know, the pioneer of American Wagyu beef, shipped directly to your door. Order now at snakeriverfarms.com. Emmanuel Mosley and Jason Verrett, guys, like we've been talking about already, said the difference makers in that game. And what a difference just a week makes when it comes to Brian Allen, to Emmanuel Mosley, and folks blowing up the text line. Can you imagine what this is going to be like when Kaywan's back, when Sherm's back, if he comes back? I don't know how realistic that is this season, but the 49ers defense, no doubt, embarrassed last week, and maybe the week before, too, against the Eagles, who everybody was saying Carson Wentz is done.
Right.
And then they come into Levi's and beat the 49ers. Regardless, total team effort. We're talking game changers this morning. If we want to go back to the phone lines or the text line, 888-957-9570. Who was your dude last night? Was it Verrett? Was it Mosley? Was it a certain play that you loved that seemed to be the difference between the win and the loss? 24-16, the final. 49ers, Bonte, back to 500 as they get set to head across the country and take on a New England Patriots squad that isn't looking as shiny as they were before yesterday's ballgame.
Oh, we'll get to the hoodie and Jimmy Garoppolo going back to New England and Cam Newton and the Patriots a little later in the week. I'm going to enjoy this one from last night because we all needed it. After all the doom and gloom last week, the Jimmy Garoppolo talk, the offensive line talk, the defense talk. I heard the promo where I'm basically saying the team stinks. We're all frustrated. We're frustrated, Kate, but man, what a difference a week makes, like you said, KT Stats. Look, we don't need Joe Shasky on PFF because every 49er will be ranked number one out of 54, no. Ranked number two out of 54, no. Ranked three out of 54.
Hide him,
we don't
further down.
Yeah, he'll be great. He gives out A's. I mean, he's an easy, easy teacher. I would sign up for his class to take his class and do a midterm exam.
Earlier this morning, I already had to back you both off of
thank
Jimmy
you, Kate.
Was good, but he wasn't great. Let's break down Jimmy Garoppolo's imperfections. I was like, whoa, 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 boys.
We'll
they picked
later.
Up their first home win of the
we'll
season on Sunday Night Football. That was huge. So go ahead, Bonte.
No, they needed a win for the soul. And as Baldy said, Verrett, Mosley, you can't number 41, number 22. You can't understate how well they played yesterday. Baldy said Verrett should have came up with three interceptions, and he's right. I mean, he was around the football against some damn good wide receivers in Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. They got two tight ends in Higbee and Gerald Everett. This secondary played lights out, man. And I just hope that Tartt is ready to go for next week against New England, because right now, Ward and Tartt has been solid. I think nobody's talking about them. They're playing on a Pro Bowl level, no doubt about it. And Verrett looks like that Pro Bowler from back in 2015. I like the way they played yesterday. But as Shasky said earlier, I need one more pass rusher. I need a pass rusher.
Because we'll
at some point, you're going to need to pressure the quarterback.
Should we hear from the guy throwing the passes last night? Should we hear from the dude?
Yeah, let's get into him. But real quick, Kate, the Verrett pass breakup on the diving play early in the game, to me it was like, oh, my God. I can't remember the last time a cornerback jumped on a ball and made a play like that. Like, and to Baldy's point, I thought he was going to pick that. Like, I really did. I thought he was going to come up and pick it. And then his pick later on in the game was just humongous. I mean, you can't state enough how important that was. Let's get right to that sound, Kate.
But you're right. The Jason Verrett pass breakup, second offensive series for the Rams. It was so big that it made it onto my note sheet, Joe Shasky.
Nice.
It made
Look
it on.
That.
I said,
I want to see
punt
your note
again.
Sheets.
Jason, hey, you can't read anything. You'd think I was a doctor or something. I don't know how I can even read what I'm writing. But thankfully, I see the big J and I see the big V, so I can tell it's Jason Verrett somehow, some way. Anyway.
Real quick.
Speaking of big J's.
Yeah. Real quick. There's a guy named Rob. He's friends with my in-laws, Alona and Oleg. He's good friends. He was sauced up yesterday at the baby shower. Sauced. I think they were drinking Bellevue or whatnot.
But the Bonte baby shower. Our boy's going to be a dad in December for anybody just tuning in. It's going to be a whole new show come December.
It's going to be scary.
Yep.
Probably won't be tweeting as much. Go ahead,
Chuck. I'm ready to see the picture with Bonte, his beautiful baby girl, and he's wearing an Aaron Donald jersey and an Aaron Donald LA Rams, you know, hippie hat. I mean, that is going to be the photo that I think is going to get so much traction on
social.
Somebody
lost a bet on Friday.
That's going to be a rough day. That's going to be a rough.
But it's going to be a great day for the rest of us, Bonte.
Yes. For your pleasure, for your comedic relief, I guess. It's going to be rough for us. But look, this guy, Rob, he was watching me take notes during the game at the in-laws. I'm downstairs. I'm like locked in. My mom's on the right. Bablik's on the She's sitting right there. And Rob's just hovering over. He's like, so you're taking notes, huh? Huh. So what do you say there? If you just write five words and you explain it, it's just like, bruh, get upstairs and keep drinking.
The guy is drunk.
But keep drinking.
You know, B, I love how B will criticize Jimmy Garoppolo's play in the pocket when things get muddied. But yet when he has a couple of people around him questioning him on his notes while watching the game with his feet up, I mean, he starts getting discombobulated.
Get off me. What are you doing, man? I'm prepping for my show. Get off
me. It rattles me, Kate. Rattled me.
Let me ask you both a question here. We've talked a lot about, obviously, the defense, Robert Saleh. He had a damn good game plan given who was out there and who wasn't out there. Kyle Shanahan and the timeouts. This is something that Bonte referenced earlier where they come out of a end-of-the-quarter situation and then basically burn a timeout after one play. I actually didn't have a huge problem with the 49ers burning a couple of timeouts. One of them he burned early in the game on third down to get them set up properly on that play. Like, it was so important, the magnitude of that play. If you go into halftime and you don't use all your timeouts, well, then what the heck are you really doing here? Like, honestly, you use the timeouts to avoid the killer plays or to avoid the crushing end-of-the-drive scenario, which I think that they did a good job of. Conversely, McVay burned two timeouts, boom, boom, right out of the gate. And it cost them toward the end of the game in the second half. He burns them right out of the rip, and then they don't have those timeouts in their back pocket. One first down, game was over. So I had no problem with the way Kyle was running those timeouts. Did you guys have a problem with it?
Bonte,
just that one.
Your thoughts?
Just that one after the first quarter break. You know, you have a break. You flip the field. You got a quarter break to talk about things, and you come out there and you're not prepared, you're discombobulated, and you got to burn a timeout before running a play. It's like you just had 2 minutes and 45 seconds to get your act right. Now, it didn't burn them because a couple plays later, George Kittle scored a touchdown on the 4th-and-2. So I didn't – look, you want to get in the right play. You don't want to go – you don't want anything going catastrophic, right? You don't want to –
And let's be honest, they weren't the only ones to just sit on their arses during a commercial break. Can we talk about the officiating last night?
Oh, my God.
They're reviewing the fumble that in no way was ever in any level of football a fumble. We come back from break. Oh, wait. No, actually, they were just talking talking about their post-game dinner plans, which I understand. I've done that before during a break. You're like, sweet, I finally have 2 minutes. So, guys, where do you want to go after the game today? Oh, we're supposed to be reviewing this play. So I understand. But, Joe, to answer your question, I think to me it was just proof, again, that Kyle Shanahan won the coaching battle last night.
Absolutely.
Talked about him the last couple of weeks. Has Kyle lost his edge? Has he lost his mojo? Is he getting comfortable? Here he comes head-to-head with Sean McVay. And Kyle just flat-out coached him last night. And I think the same can be said for Robert Saleh.
Yeah, and I think that they really out-coached that young DC that they plucked from Vic Fangio's staff who was over there. And he just looked like the moment was too big for him. He was, you know, searching down on his play sheet. It's like, right, dude, it's right in front of you. We are getting anything and everything we want. And we really didn't throw the ball down the field effectively. No. I mean, mm-hmm. We referenced earlier the 2 third-down drops from the 49ers. I actually thought Jimmy threw a really nice deep ball on the one. I forget who it was. Was it Ayuk or Debo?
Could have been P.I.
Yeah, I thought it was P.I. Yeah. And on that timeout play that you're talking about, B, it looked like to me the rookie Brandon Ayuk didn't know where he was supposed to be on the play. And instead of having an infraction or a delay of game, you call the timeout, you get yourself set up. They end up making it fourth and manageable. Okay, they don't get the third down, first down, but they make it fourth and manageable. And then they hit hits Kittle on that slant, which was the play of the game. And the ball placement on that throw, that was one of his best throws of the season.
No doubt. No doubt. Real quick, Kate, I'm looking at the text line here, and this is why I have a problem with PFF. 925. Ward is ranked 80 out of 83 at the safety position, according to Pro Football Focus. And I'm thinking, come on, watch the game. Jimmy Ward has played some pretty damn good football. Mm-hmm. He's been a savior back there at the free safety spot, a sure tackler. Pro Football Focus at these grades.
I mean, come on.
Well, it kind of gets to, we were talking about it with baseball the last couple of weeks, right? You have all these advanced statistics these days, and then you have your eyes and your gut. And it's got to be somewhere in between, right? It's got to be, sometimes the stats lead you to something, but sometimes you just got to watch the ball game, guys.
Right.
Yeah, and this is where, you know, I have my own personal rankings, Chris Collinsworth. On my personal PFF, Ward is 13th out of 34 safeties that are eligible at the free safety position, and that's where I've got him slotted. He's definitely not 80th. I mean, come on.
Thank you.
80th?
80th?
Exactly. Come on, watch the game. There's 79 other players out there that are playing better football than Jimmy Ward. I mean, come on.
Let's hear from number 10. Should we hear from Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yes.
He had to hear all the noise, all the haters all week long. Do we want Nick Mullins? Is it going to be Mullins or Beathard when Jimmy gets pulled again? I don't think he's the dude, even though he led the 49ers to the Super Bowl last year. So thankfully, we can all exhale. Everybody, hopefully, back on the Jimmy train for at least one more week. And after the game, Jimmy talked about how great it was to have the team finally get back to its winning ways.
You know, it was really just about coming into this game. I mean, you could feel in the locker room throughout the entire week. Just it was a different mindset that everyone had, you know. And I mean, the last couple of weeks before this, no one liked that feeling. It wasn't who we are as a team. And I think this week just kind of got us back right on track.
You know, one of the reasons why I love Steve Young so much, Kate, is there were times where it didn't look pretty. It was kind of ugly. Mm-hmm. And he would will the team in the direction of winning. I mean, he really would. And some of the great runs that you've seen in 49er history, obviously Steve is scampering. But it's like the desire and the fear of, like, getting tackled or putting the team in a position where they're going to fail. Jimmy's run, it wasn't the sexiest thing in the world. But that run, to me, was the embodiment of last night's performance. Hey, I didn't get the first down, but I'm going to give you every single thing I have here. Jimmy wasn't perfect yesterday, but he put this team in a position to win. And I thought Kyle Shanahan played to his strengths and the team's strengths yesterday, and then minimized the strengths of the Rams, which is Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. They didn't attack those two guys. When Donald started getting all that pressure, boom, let me drop a little George Kittle screen pass right in the spot where Aaron Donald was just at. So I thought they really played so well off of each other. And again, as bad as it was at times for Jimmy, there were two giant drops on third down, which I think would have changed a lot of people's perceptions on how he played in this game. He delivered some nice balls yesterday.
He did. He did. And getting on the football field again, he, you know, the first game against Arizona, it's no preseason. Going out there with Dante Pettis as your number one wide receiver. Week two against the Jets in the first half, he played really well. He had two incompletions and built a rapport with Jordan Reed, who will be back at some point this year. Don't forget about him.
Good call,
Adam, with Ayuk and Debo. Man, Jordan Reed looked like a whole new player, a pretty damn good player when he could catch the football and run with it out there to catch. But you know what? That's my quarterback, man. Number 10, that's my quarterback.
Now, a week after Bonte tweeting out, a week after he's tweeting out, the Jimmy G era is over in San Francisco. Who are they getting to next? All right, and like any good quarterback, he made sure to shout out his offensive line after their absolutely incredible performance. Aaron Donald, no sacks after being the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. Let's hear from Jimmy on his O-line.
Man, I thought the O-line as a whole just did a phenomenal job. In the run game, it started with the run game and then the pass game. I mean, the pockets were clean all night. There was a couple third downs where I held the ball for a little extra long. Just the coverage was good. And they, I mean, they didn't get near me. I didn't get hit very much. Felt great coming out of this game. It was... when the O-line plays like that, I mean, it sets a tone for our whole offense, and they did it tonight.
I thought they out-hit the Rams at every level. Defensively, their skill position guys were out-hitting the DBs and the linebackers for the Rams, but their O-line did such a great job. And I think also by play design, like you saw it highlighted during the Sunday Night Football package when they were showing the Aaron Donald situations, double teams. Triple teams. I mean, they had the fullback behind the guard and the tackle to make sure that there was that third layer of protection behind Aaron Donald. And yeah, Floyd, he had a couple of really nice plays in that game. I will let Floyd eat. I'm not letting Aaron Donald disrupt this game. And I love the way they put that out there.
The boogeyman, Kate, he was non-existent. I had nightmares about this guy Saturday night waking up.
I'm at the baby shower. Bonte was having nightmares about him.
KT stats. I was sitting there at the baby shower thinking, how are they going to block 99? My fantasy teams, all six of them, are getting roasted today.
New England in the survivor pool.
Yeah, five too many.
No, it's too many. Too many. My survivor pool picked New England. They get ousted by the Broncos. I'm sitting there watching Brady just go crazy, or actually Tampa Bay's defense go crazy against Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking number 99 is just going to make this day even worse. I'm itching for football. You know what? The boogeyman, he saw a ghost yesterday. He saw a ghost that wore the 49ers offensive line. Oh, man, what a day. I will proudly wear that Aaron Donald jersey when they beat up on the Rams the second time around at SoFi Stadium. Oh, I loved it.
That was
so
awesome.
Come on,
Chaz. Speaking of KT stats, Bonte, I got you, buddy. How about this? Six targets, just one catch allowed for 4 yards, plus an interception. And the interception was his first in 4 years. The last pick by Jason Verrett. He intercepted Alex Smith when he was a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. Fairfield's own Jason Verrett having himself a ball game. Onto the lights down at Levi's, and this is what his quarterback had to say about his performance.
Oh, it was huge. I mean, that was a huge turning point in the game. Just, I wasn't sure what coverage or anything we were in, but just the play he made on keeping his feet in bounds, I mean, it was a hell of a play. He played great tonight. He's, JV, he's one of those guys just, even if you get down on him, if he has a bad day or something like that, he has the mindset where he comes back the next day and he's ready to fight. And that's what I really respect out of the guy. You know, when a guy can do that on a day-to-day basis, he earns your trust as a teammate.
One of the things I love in sports is seeing someone fail over and over and over and over again and then redeem themselves. In life, I feel like most of us, we don't get the job we want. We don't get into the school we want. We don't bag the spouse or girlfriend or boyfriend that we want. We end up getting rejected for the prom, things like that. I know Bonte's shaking his head. Not me.
No. I swung and missed a lot.
Most normal folks do.
Hey, Shasky, I swung and missed a lot.
That's what I'm saying.
I had a batting average of 150. It was rough. Thank God. NFL's sorry for me.
We all learn from our experiences, though.
Well, and I think that's what makes this so
endearing. Failure is a great teacher.
Exactly. Failure is. It's the greatest teacher, Yoda, and one of my favorite scenes in all of the Star Wars, which is the new one, where he talks about failure is the greatest lesson. It's the greatest thing to learn. And part of Verrett's story is so endearing because I think everybody can relate to it. And seeing that guy go out there and make the most of his opportunity because of the other injuries that have been around, which is ironic in itself, I mean, it's just an awesome sports story. I mean, it really is. And to see this guy ball out like that on that stage, against this team, when this team desperately needed someone to make a play on that fourth down situation, it was just monstrous. And then to get the pick and get both feet down and they get the touchback. I mean, what a great sports story. That's what I'm saying. I'm getting 2011 Carlos Rogers vibes.
I love it. All right, let's go out to the phone lines because the lines are lit again. We're talking about our game changer or the game changing play for you last night. Was it a dude? Was it a sequence? Was it a certain play in the 49ers 24-16 beatdown of the Los Angeles Rams? games at Levi's. And it looks like somebody else wants to talk about the 49ers defense. Understandably so. Los Altos, let's go down to George in Los Altos, who wants to talk about the 49ers secondary. Good morning, George. Thanks for listening to the Morning Roast here on 95.7 The Game. How are you, George?
I'm doing great. You know, we're talking about how impressive Verrett and Mosley were, but think about it. Our pass rush was virtually non-existent. I think I only remember Goff being on his butt one time, and that was after he rolled out of the pocket. Mm-hmm. But when you think about it, he had all day, all night to throw the ball, and our guys still stepped up and played great against great receivers. Mm-hmm. That just gives us a lot of hope.
No, great call, George. And you know what? It does give everybody hope. It gives everybody hope when it comes to covering wide receivers.
Look, a new hope?
A very new hope. I had no hope.
Kate knows where I was going
there. You subject number 48 to me. My hope is gone.
This team is done. Who wears number 48 and plays corner? What are we doing? Jimmy Garoppolo has to go. 5 days later, this is my team. This is my quarterback. Go ahead, Bonte Flip-Flop Hill. Go ahead.
Kate, I've been the conductor of the Jimmy G trade. I'm sorry I freaked out. Joe Shassi, I'm blaming him, Kate. I'm blaming him for the tweet, just like I'm blaming his dad for me saying the Giants will be the worst team ever in San Francisco history, because they got to me, Kate. They got to me.
Don't let him get to you.
It's my quarterback.
That's my quarterback. Exactly. That is my quarterback.
It's my quarterback.
Shassi told me I don't want to hear about Jimmy Garoppolo ever again. Ever again. And I'm thinking, oh, man, he may be right. But you know what? I saw the fighter yesterday. I saw the fighter with the cornerbacks, which gives me hope when you look at the next four games against these top flight wide receivers. Verrett, Mosley, you get Kaywan back. And you get, hopefully, Uncle Sherv. Get right, man. Where you at? I'm tired of you doing videos with Chris Collinsworth. I need you on the field at Levi's Stadium. We need your swagger. We're at number 25. It gives me hope, Kate. The secondary gives me hope. Now, just give me a little bit of pass rush, and they'll be that much better.
Well, I think the one area that I got a little nervous, second half, they started running the ball really hard with Daryl Henderson. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about the interception, but Kate brought this up in the first hour, and it's so spot on. The play by Dre Greenlaw down near the goal line, which basically knocked Henderson out of that game. Wow. He was not the same running back in that game. He came up limping. Dre Greenlaw came up limping. But Dre Greenlaw played a great game yesterday. He was in pass protection on the tight end play, the big tight end play to start the second half. But he's giving good coverage. It's good coverage. It's a great throw. A great throw and a great catch is going to beat great coverage almost every single time. It's the NFL. But I just think that Greenlaw gives them an element that Kwon doesn't. And this isn't a knock on Kwon. Greenlaw's the better football player right now in almost every single facet. He's more disciplined. He's better in coverage. He sets the edge. He's a sure tackler. And I think he's got just as good, if not better, speed. Trey Greenlaw's balling right now for this team.
We were talking about that sequence because it just seemed like the huge sequence right after the 49ers had found out that Raheem Mostert was done for the afternoon, found out that all of a sudden Jaquaski Tartt wasn't coming back because of the groin, and you're thinking, here we go. Maybe the 49ers needed to put up 28 in the first half to have a chance. We know that this Rams offense can explode, but third down, as Joe mentioned, Greenlaw prevents the touchdown, and you're thinking, they're still at the one-yard line. They're going to get it. Then Mosley with the pass breakup, and then Verrett with the pick at the back of the end zone to set the tone. Jerry Rice joining us in 10 minutes here on the Morning Roast. It's a brand new morning show. Joe Shasky, Bonte Hill, and me, Kate Scott. What you got, Butch?
I was going to say, I've got a question for Jerry Rice specifically, and it's going to be about his record tying touchdown where he did an end around on Monday Night Football to tie Jim Brown. And I want to ask him specifically about that end around play when you're a wide receiver, because that's such a crucial part of this offense, whether it's Ayuk, whether it's Deebo Samuel. I'm going to specifically ask him what makes that play so difficult for the wide receiver, because we look at it and we're like, oh, it's just an easy play. You're just running. No. You are running downhill and guys are coming to take your head off. Yet Jerry Rice did that to tie Jim Brown on Monday Night Football back in 1994, and it is the staple of this offense for Deebo and Ayuk. So I have a very specific question on that play.
Great call. Well, we're going to be talking with Jerry in less than 10 minutes now here on the Morning Roast. New lineup here at the game started last Monday. This is the beginning of week 2. Joe the Butcher Boy Shasky, Bonte flip-flop. I'm in a bathrobe this morning, Hill, and Kate Scott, who thankfully has a top on. We're here with you every day from 6 to 10. Then Steiny, Guru, and Dibs. Lo Neal with them all 4 hours today as well from 10 to 2. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, 2 to 6. The Football Hour with Sean Salisbury, 6 to 7. And then Covey and John Dickinson from 7 to 10 every night here on 95.7 The Game. Let's go out back to the phone lines, take a couple calls, because y'all are rocking these phones. 888-957-9570. Chilton Auto Body text line, and also our hotline, 888-957-9570. Let's head out to the East Bay, because got to give that O-line and Jimmy G some credit. Verducci in Walnut Creek, good morning. Deutch. You're on the Morning Rose.
Verducci.
Good morning, Butcher Boy, Kate Scott, and a.k.a. Bonte, Mr. Hugh Hefner with the Victory Monday outfit. I love it. I
put
saw your Instagram post there, Bonte. Now, let me tell you something. At the beginning of that game, I was cooking up some nice pesto gnocchi, and I couldn't even eat it because that drive was just so picture-perfect, and that's exactly what I'm talking about with Mr. Shanahan. Hasty was great coming out of the backfield, giving us that extra burst. And for the offensive line, will the real Slim Shady please stand up? Because I think that offensive line did stand up. And then also, what a difference one person makes in the back or in the defensive backfield with Mosley. And finally, I'm going to end it on this with this quote. We fail, we break, we fall, but then we rise, we heal, we overcome. Bang, bang, not a game. Let's go. We back.
Hello.
Wow. You know, Kate, Bill Walsh had an old saying because he was a Golden Glove boxer. We're going to punch you in the mouth just a little before you hit us. And by the end of the game, you're going to be worn down. Didn't it feel like the 49ers punched them in the mouth just a step before every single play? And by the end of the game, that Debo play, which was the signature play in the game, I mean, I felt like at that point the Rams had had enough, right? Like, they should have wrapped him up for a six-yard gain, and it should have been, you know, a fourth and short situation. Instead, they convert on that third down. That was just such a huge play right there.
And it was three plays, Bonte, for me in the fourth quarter leading up to that. Getting to what you were saying, 21-9 going into the fourth quarter, have already lost Mostert, have already lost Tart, and now we're getting reports that Trent Williams is out, being looked at for a head injury. And I'm thinking, here we go, man, here we go. The 49ers just got to gut this out. It's going to be an ugly final 15 minutes, Bonte. What do? Give it to Kittle. After Kittle dropped the third down pass and after Bourne dropped the third down pass, they get it to Kittle, and he powers ahead for a first down. And then on the next time they have the ball, it's Jimmy running for the first down. He doesn't get it, but as you said, that was huge, getting gold into field goal position, and the 49ers get those extra points. And then Debo with that just powering through at the end of the ball game, Bonte. This team just, I mean, it sounds cliche, but it's cliche because it happens all the time. This team just wanted it more than the Rams last night, and thanks to that, they're back to 500 on the season.
A lot of body blows yesterday, Kate. A lot of body blows, and they finally wore them down, as Shasky said, with that last play to Debo. But what did you guys think Shanahan was going to cook up? Because it was third down. And if you throw the football and you get an incompletion.
What did you tweet out, B? What did you, be honest.
I said, what
is
Shanahan going to do? Is Shanahan going to let Jimmy pass the football?
And
well,
what did you text me?
Technically, I guess it was a pass. I guess technically it was a pass.
How is he even watching the game when he's doing so many other things at the same time? He's at a baby shower, trying to stiff arm relatives. He's tweeting. He's texting. Go ahead, Bonte. Kate, Multitasking, Bonte Hill.
When I have Bubbles, when Bubbles comes, joins us in this world, and Uncle Joe and Auntie Kate, they see Bubbles. She's going to be in my right hand. The cell phone's going to be in my left, and I will be getting those tweets off. She will learn how to tweet.
He's currently holding a football in his right hand and decided to shake the football when he was referencing where his soon-to-be daughter Bubbles is. Don't shake her as much as you just shook the football, though, Bonte. That can get us into dangerous territory.
I got to give you guys visual.
The guy is drunk.
I got to tuck in like Tiki Barber. You know what I'm saying? She's going to be tweeting like a mad person when she's 3 years old. So I was wondering, is Shanahan going to let Jimmy throw down the football field? Is he going to? Instead, he gives it to Debo, and it turned out to be the right call. Because at first, when I saw the design, I said, oh, Lord, he's going to run it with Debo with the jet sweep again. And Debo just literally just will. It was straight will and heart. Straight up heart to get that first down. So that was huge.
Should we take one more call before we head to break and then come back with Jerry Rice? Because this is setting up perfectly. It's almost like you guys know what the callers want to talk about because we were just talking about Shanahan. And that's what Bay Rob in San Francisco wants to talk about. Rob, talking Kyle Shanahan, out-scheming Sean McVay and the Rams last night. Good morning, Rob. You're on with Kate Bonte and Joe on the Morning Roast.
Kate, what's your boy?
And Bonte.
Bonte.
There we go.
I had a good night's sleep, brothers. I had a good night's sleep. We did our thing. I'm giving shout out to Shanahan and Salah for doing their thing. You know what I'm saying? We redeemed ourselves. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what I'm expecting from them. You know what I'm saying? Just being spoiled coming from a 49er franchise. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to the defense. Shout out to all the players. They played good. And that one defensive player I'm still looking for, Bonte, Kate, and Butcher Boy, is our boy Armstead, man. He the leader, man. We gave him that bag. He needs to step it up. I'll give special shout-outs to Fred Warner and Hyder Jr. They did their thing. Mm-hmm. They was on golf, you know, as much as they could be on them. But cornerbacks, everybody did their thing, man. I'll give them a B grade for overall everything. They did great, man. Good job, Niner.
Never satisfied. Hey, Rob, thanks for the call. Never satisfied, you guys.
Two quick points here. Number one, Aaron Donald did nothing in this game. I can't remember the last time I've said that when the Niners went up against the Rams. Number two, special teams came up big. We haven't talked about the blocked extra kick, which kind of changes that game early on, and that play by Tarvarius Moore on the special teams to down it right there at the 1 yard line. They were killing it in all aspects.
And we're going to talk about all of that for an hour and 15 minutes more. Here's what's coming up on the game, brought to you by Safeway. Coming up next, we're going to talk about it with the GOAT, Jerry Rice, joining us just after the break. Also got our great Eats for Free segment coming up at 9:30. Y'all won't want to miss that. And be sure to come in this week for Safeway's BOGO sale. Save big on Breyers Ice Cream and Waterfront Bistro 2-pound bag shrimp each. Our buy one, get one free. Stock up on your favorite General Mills cereal, selected varieties, or buy two, get three free. Safeway, come in and explore. Jerry Rice joining us after this. 49ers knock off the Rams 24-16. And we are feeling good here on a Monday. Joe, Bonte, and Kate, it's the Morning Roast here on 95.7. The game.
The Morning Roast continues with Bonte, Kate, and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, what a great morning it is. 49ers knock off the Rams 24-16 at Levi's, back to 500 on the season. And for the four of you who would like to see what our faces look like while we're broadcasting, just want to let you know we're going to be going live on the 95.7 The Game Facebook page and 95.7 The Game Twitter page for the 9 a.m. hour. That's, I think, just for you, Mom. But for now, let's talk to the GOAT, shall we, guys? Jerry Rice, our 95.7 The Game NFL insider. And Jerry, as always, is presented by Golden State. When you succeed, we succeed. Also presented by Zinni, the official eyewear of the San Francisco 49ers. Joining us now on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line, Jerry Rice, happy belated birthday, Jerry, from Bonte and from Joe and from me, Kate, and obviously from your San Francisco 49ers. They knew it was your birthday last week, Jerry, and they said, sorry we didn't beat the Dolphins. Let us knock off the Rams for you down at Levi's. Happy belated birthday, Jerry. How you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. How you guys doing?
We are great.
Doing great.
What
great.
A difference Victory a week Monday. Makes, huh? What a difference a week makes. You know, whole different team, right, Jerry? Whole different team after just a week. What did you see from the 49ers, just big picture, last night?
Well, what I saw was a team effort. And, you know, I saw the swagger a little bit, the confidence, and they were having fun on the football field. And I think for the first time, you know, this is like a little bit of a show of where when we got everybody in place on offense, we have a very explosive offense, you know, running the football and also passing the football. You know, I think with Jimmy G, he's still a little hesitant, you know, with that high ankle sprain, but he felt much better, and it showed on the football field.
You know, Jerry, I mean, the white throwbacks look so crispy clean. You knew they couldn't lose in those bad boys that you guys wore in the last Super Bowl run for the 49ers. And Jimmy Garoppolo played a lot better. This offensive line played a lot better. But just talk about how much a running game can help the passing game. Because, you know, a lot of people forget when you and JT were breaking off 80-yard touchdowns off of quick slants, Roger Craig, Ricky Waters, Garrison Hurst, those running backs, they really did you helped you guys out, space that football field to where you guys could see more one-on-ones.
Yeah, first of all, it takes some of the pressure off the quarterback, too, where he doesn't feel like, he has to, throw the ball the majority of the time. So once you establish that, now if the opposing team, if they try to stack the box or something like that, now you got opportunities on the outside where you have, you know, that big play ability. And that was something that we did back in the day. I think you're starting to see more of that now, you know, with the San Francisco 49ers. If they establish that running game, it opens up everything else. Then when you got a bruiser like Kittle and also Deebo Samuel and, you know, on that football field running that ball, it's amazing to watch. I'm sitting there watching that, and I'm looking at the physicality of Deebo Samuel. You know, he's looking for contact. When I played the game, I was trying to avoid contact. I didn't want to. I was just trying to get away from it. But, man, it's great to see those guys, you know, once they get the football. And I really have to commend Kittle because he's doing so much, you know, because, you know, he's also blocking. You know, we look at the big plays, the catches and all that, but this guy, you know, doing the running game, he's blocking. Doing the passing game, he's blocking. But then he had, you know, about 7 receptions for about 109 yards and a touchdown. And on that fourth down, man, you know, just to see him break that tackle and the run after catch, you know, it was really amazing to see.
Yeah, that was maybe Jimmy's best throw of the day, too. It was an absolute dime. I want to talk about that end-around play. We know that you scored that touchdown throwing the ball in an end-around in Atlanta years ago, but you tied Jim Brown Monday Night Football against the Raiders on one of those jet sweep end-around type of plays where you ran it in. So it was a staple of the offense even when you played. It is so important to this version of the 49ers with Deebo and Ayuk, and they're constantly trying to run that play. From the wide receiver's perspective, how difficult is that play to execute?
Well, the thing is, you have to become like a running back, and your vision on the field, you know, you got to see things happening really fast. And Bill Walsh always told me, he said, whenever you run a reverse play, you know, don't juke, don't make all of those moves, just run downhill. And you're seeing that with Deebo Samuel and also Brandon Ayuk. And I got to give Ayuk, you know, I got to congratulate him his first passing touchdown, mm-hmm. You know. And, you know, I think he's starting to really, really involve himself. And you can see the confidence and all of that. But on that reverse play, against that Monday night game against the Raiders when I broke Jim Brown's record, it was all about just, you know, just running downhill, getting those positive yards, and just to make sure you don't fumble the football.
Talking with Jerry Rice, the greatest to ever play the game at wideout. He's joining us on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line here on the Morning Roast with Bonte, Joe, and Kate. And you just mentioned Ayuk's touchdown. It wasn't anything flashy, Jerry, but as you mentioned, it was his first in the NFL, and we all know that means something. Take us back to your first touchdown in the NFL. What was the play call? What do you remember about it? And where's that ball now? Because I know you've got it. You know you've got it someplace displayed
it's
prominently because it is such
it
a big deal.
Up in a very safe place.
What was your first one, Jerry?
Yeah, it was against the Atlanta Falcons. When I think we were in Atlanta playing them, and that was my first touchdown. My teammates, they wanted to celebrate with me, but I was running so fast they couldn't catch me. So I was excited. But, you know, just watching that play with Ayuk, how he uncovered, how he had the awareness to get into the end zone, then all of a sudden find a hole where Jimmy G could deliver the football. That showed me that this guy, you know, he's really starting to feel good about the offense. And his role in the offense, and he's only going to get better.
You know, Jerry, yesterday Jimmy Garoppolo started to get that swagger back, the swag that we saw all of 2019. And there was one run where he tried to truck a DB, and he got some extra yards to make the field goal a lot shorter for Robbie Gould. Can you just talk about being in a huddle with a quarterback who's willing to just ram over guys? You play with one like Steve Young, who would never wanted to slide. It seemed like, and it's like, Steve, just get down. We need you here next week. And Jimmy kind of did the same thing yesterday, but it felt like it charged up that offense, Jerry.
Yeah, it did, but Jimmy really scared me. He scared me because he was running, and you like hey, guys, you've got to have vision all over the field. And at the last second, he saw that guy, and he was able to brace for it. You know, Steve was the same way. When Steve ran the ball, man, if his helmet came off or whatever, even if he lost a shoe, he was going to continue to run and try to get positive yards. But, you know, Jimmy G yesterday, he was lucky on that one, but I don't want to see that happen anymore. You know, he needs to be able to slide. Okay, guys?
We're there with you, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry, you know more about DB play than anybody that we could ever talk to. So I'm just curious of what your thoughts are on the Jason Verrett comeback story. And obviously we know how important him and Mosley are out there together and what that's done to the defense. But just Jason Verrett, what are you seeing from this guy? Because he looks incredible.
Man, I'm going to tell you, man, I'm watching Jason Verrett, and I'm saying, where did this guy come from? The plays that he was making yesterday, and also, you know, Emmanuel Mosley, they had the swagger, they had the confidence, and you can see they brought something to that secondary that we hadn't had for a second. And you know, you win championships with defense. And to see those guys blossom the way they did yesterday, you know, it really sets the standards really high. And they're only going to get better if they can just stay healthy and just keep doing what they're doing. But I can see that swagger in that secondary yesterday.
And, Jerry, how important is that? You know, when you maybe haven't played as well as you think you can for a couple weeks, you see a huge road trip like the 49ers have, going to New England and then having to go to Seattle on right. back-to-back weeks. How big, when it comes to the mindset for a team, was that win last night?
It was really big. It was probably, I would say, it was a 10. It was a 10 because they needed to win that. They needed to get that feel again. Because they got the Patriots, the Seattle Seahawks, they got the Packers, then they got half the Saints, then they go into their bye week. And this team right now, with what they accomplished yesterday, the momentum can throw them right into, you know, the Patriots. And it's one team at a time. You know, it's like you don't look at the entire four and say, hey, look, we're gonna win all four. You take them one at a time. But I think momentum-wise and from a confidence status, that really helped them yesterday. And I can't wait for them to, you know, play the Patriots and get back and continue to winning games.
All right, Jerry, it's a 7-0 lead. The Niners, the defense has been basically stopping the Rams left and right. They get the ball back. They march on down. They're kind of in no man's land. All right, it's fourth and short. They stay out on the field. They go for it. It's the huge Kittle touchdown. You're in that huddle, okay? What are you thinking when Shanahan goes for it on fourth and two? What are the players feeling as they're about to get to that to the snap right there? Because I think all the fan base was like, okay, let's go for it. And then it's like, oh, if they don't get this, this could be a huge spot in the game where momentum can
right.
shift back to the Rams.
Yeah, but for the coach to have the confidence in his players – to do that on fourth down, you know, it sends a message. And I really, I'm going to be honest with you guys, fourth and one, I thought it was going to be a run. I really did. When he threw the ball to Kittle, you know, I'm saying to myself, oh, my God, you know, now that was a serious call. You know, to have the confidence to throw the ball on fourth and one. And then with Kittle, you know, because of his physicality and his big body, of course you're not going to be able to bring that guy down. And, you know, I also saw towards the end where he was doing like a little Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
You guys know who's that?
Oh, yeah.
No doubt. He held that ball up, Jerry.
You going to teach him how to celebrate properly now, Jerry?
You know, hey, you know, to try to pull that one off. Now, I was looking at him. I'm like, oh, Kittle, you're trying to bite off a little too much right now, okay? Because you got to be real limbo, and you got to have that, you know, that flexibility like Deion to pull that off. But, man. To watch this guy, you know, run after the catch and stuff like that, it's always exciting to
Hey, how about the jerseys real quick, Jerry, before we get you on out of here? Those throwback jerseys, I mean, you made them iconic. I mean, you did. You made those uniforms iconic, the pristine, the way you had it looking all the time, Flash 80. Do you think they need to go with the red stripe socks, though, with those all whites?
The red stripes? I used to hate those socks, man. What are you talking about?
You didn't like those?
You didn't like them, Jerry?
Man, look, it's all about a uniform and the way it looks. It's the appearance, okay? And I couldn't have those three stripes on my socks and stuff like that. It messes up the outfit. So I would always, like, you know, put as much tape on my socks as possible to try to hide that. But the throwback uniforms, it was always really, really nice to wear that, you know what I'm saying, with the big letters and all of that. And I think we played exceptional whenever we put those throwback uniforms on.
Jerry, when are you going to bust out the red ones? I need the red throwback jerseys that you wore at home and you guys wore in the Super Bowl when you destroyed the San Diego Chargers.
Well, man, you know what? I got that one here, and I got it all signed and stuff like that. You know, it's crazy because I don't know, for some reason, I'm one of those guys that feel like, you know, if you look a certain way, you're going to play well. And my uniform said everything. You know, what I did, how I with the shoes to the socks to the pants to the jersey, how it had to be tapered and stuff like that. Everything had to be perfect. And I think that's why I was able to go out and play my best football.
Well, the 49ers took a cue from you last night, Jerry, saying happy belated birthday to the GOAT, knocking off the Rams 24-16. Awesome, as always, chatting with you the Monday after, especially a big 49ers win. Hopefully we're doing it again next Monday after they play the Patriots, Jerry. Thanks so much for joining Bonte, Joe, and Kate this morning on the Morning Run.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.